Welcome to episode 539 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and I think I've forgotten how to do this because we haven't done a live show in 2 months, but this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. And hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing well, but yeah, like I feel like it's not just that I don't know how to do the live show anymore. I don't feel like I even know how to podcast anymore. Like, we've done 538 episodes of this before. I've done hundreds of episodes of other shows, and I'm still feeling completely lost here.
Yeah.
What a weird day. What a weird couple of weeks. What an eventful couple of weeks in this country since we've last recorded.
Well, and in your home, right? Like, you kind of redid your area where your desk would normally be. You've been in, right, a temporary space. Now you are like back in your reconstructed desk. I tore my desk apart this week, which we'll talk about more later. And behind you, a little bit of a spoiler here, I see a new Xbox behind you, right next, indeed, to what looks like an Insteon hub. So I'm excited to hear more about that.
You are correct on both accounts. Yeah, that is the Insteon hub that it's right next to. Yeah. So if you are here and listening to this because you want my full review of the Xbox Series X, I'm going to disappoint you. I didn't get it in my house until 4:30 today or something like that. And you got to download the games. And in my case, you got to prep to do a podcast. So I don't actually have a whole lot of hands-on time.
Josh, what are you doing? We at least lost like 3 listeners there. What are you doing?
No, I'm enticing them to come back next week, because if they haven't bought one yet anyway, it's not like they're going to get one between now and next week, unfortunately. So anyway, why don't we get into the show? We've actually got feedback to cover. These are both sent in to us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And the first one is from Joe. Joe, I think, is my best friend in terms of the comments this week. He says, "It's Joe, longtime friend of the show. Thank you, Josh, and the rest of the team for saving Richard from buying a 720p TV. No matter what size, I would have questioned everything Richard has said going forward if you had not been there for him."
Come on, it was $117. I mean, come on.
But it's 720p in 2020.
Yeah,
get your logic out of here. You can't do that.
My logic makes sense, because I also wouldn't have needed to spend the entire weekend setting up and mounting and installing the new television, but
that's
whatever.
That's true.
Yep. All right. Well, our next message is from David, and he says, "I am still on the fence about which next-gen video game system I want to pledge my allegiance to. Sony, again, seems to have the edge in first-party exclusives and has a robust library in VR, while Microsoft has none. Please give me a few reasons the Xbox would be a better choice." But I'm assuming that he means besides the fact that Josh bought one.
That's probably not, well, actually that might actually factor into one of my answers here.
So all right.
I made a list of potential reasons, and they're not in any particular order. So the first one, like, if you were, and I don't know anything about David, I don't know if he's a hardcore gamer, I don't know if he's just a casual gamer, you know, I'm not sure where he's coming from. So let's say he's absolute hardcore. I mean, if he's absolute hardcore, he's probably not asking me. He probably already knows what he's going to do. But for the sake of argument, the Xbox Series X is the highest performing console ever made. It is a more powerful box, period, than the PlayStation 5. It has more teraflops. It has faster memory. It has a bigger hard drive. Like, it is a more performant box than the PlayStation 5 in almost every way possible. Is it so much more powerful that you're going to notice a difference? Don't know. You might not, but you might. We don't know. We won't really know for, you know, a few months when more and more games start to come out and start to figure out how to take advantage of the console. We'll see. It does have slightly more storage. So the Xbox Series X has about, it's just over 800 gigs of usable storage space after the OS and all that stuff. The PlayStation 5, on the other hand, has 667 gigs. So, I mean, that's a roughly 130 gigabyte difference. That could be a couple of games in terms of difference of storage there. Game Pass. Like, Game Pass is reason enough. You know, give them $10 a month or maybe 15 if you want to play on other devices also, and have a library of hundreds of games. And now, starting today, including EA Play games, so lots of catalog EA games to play, all for $10 a month.
So,
like, Game Pass is enough.
Is EA Play not available on the PS systems?
It is, but now it's included in Xbox Game Pass.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you don't have to pay extra for it. So that's awesome. Some of these we've talked about before. I think I talked about this one on the last episode, but it's worth repeating. All of the apps that were available on Xbox One are available on Xbox Series X. All of them. All of your audio, your video, every app that you've used, it's available right now, day one, on the Xbox Series X. That's not the case on PlayStation 5. They're rewriting all of their apps. It's like they're living in the land of previous console generations. So if there's some, you know, like if you're into Crunchyroll, I don't think the Crunchyroll app is available yet on PlayStation 5. It's available on Xbox. You know, just the lesser known things. So that could be a reason. Better controller. Now listen, offset sticks. It's better. I don't care what you PlayStation fanboys say. That controller is uncomfortable. The Xbox controller is definitively better. So you mentioned, because I have one, maybe not really so much me, but what do your friends have? That should really probably be your number one reason for which console you pick, if you like playing games with other people. Some people don't. If you're only into single player games, then this doesn't matter. For me, I love playing with other people. So that's why I got into Xbox originally back in the 360 days, and why I've stuck with Xbox, because that is what my friends have. And that's what we choose to play on.
But that's not exclusive to Xbox. You could be a PlayStation user and your friends are PlayStation and they're thinking of upgrading to the new PlayStation. So maybe that makes more sense to you.
Absolutely. Right. Yep. Yeah. If all of your friends are on PlayStation, then you should probably buy a PlayStation. Or, yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but yeah. here's another one we've talked about in the past, but doesn't get brought up a lot. All of the old accessories work. All of the Xbox One controllers work. All of the Xbox One headsets work, including like the Xbox-specific wireless headsets work. Xbox racing wheels work. Like, all of those old accessories from the Xbox One work on the Xbox Series X and Series S. It's not the case on the PlayStation. You have to buy new controllers. You have to buy new headsets. Well, not if it's just a headphone jack sort of headset, but, you know, all of those other peripherals, they got new ones for the PlayStation 5 and the old ones don't work. You cannot use a DualShock 4 on a PlayStation 5. Doesn't work. So that saves you a bunch of money if you're someone who has to buy a bunch of controllers and stuff for the whole family. The other potential reason is the Xbox Series S. It is only $299. And if you don't even have a 4K TV yet, then this might be an awesome place for you to jump in, because it'll do 1080p gaming really, really well. It'll do 1440p gaming if you're planning to hook this up to a gaming monitor. And it's cheaper than all of the other options out there. And it still plays all the same games. So that's a big list of reasons why you might want to consider an Xbox over PlayStation 5.
Today, at the end of our Scrum call with my client indicated that she was planning on getting a new Xbox for her 11-year-old son. And she was asking me, you know, does the S make sense? Is it okay? Is that going to be enough? I just, you know, I have a hard time like coming to a conclusion that he needs the X. And you and I talked about this before, right? This is a very capable box. It's a great entry level box. And I said to her, and I think this is a direct quote, your 11-year-old son is not going to notice the difference between a 1440p picture on your TV and a 4K picture.
Right. Unless he's sitting super friggin' close, in which case you should probably tell him to scoot back. Yeah, he's probably not going to tell the difference.
Yep.
And if that does have your interest piqued, go back a couple of episodes to when we really dove deep into what the Xbox Series S was when it was first announced and they talked about the specs. We spent a lot of time talking about it and whether or not it did make sense and who it makes sense for. So a whole bunch of information back in that episode, which would have been 3 months ago or so. I could probably dig it up and put it in the show notes.
So I want to throw one thing in here, which gets back to the root of David's question, which is, but what about those exclusives? What about those games that Microsoft just isn't able to deliver? We talked about that, how some of their, you know, their biggest franchises, they're not going to have available this year. Whereas that's what PlayStation is kind of known for.
Yeah, and it's not even so much that Xbox isn't going to have any major exclusives this year. It's that PlayStation, for a lot of people, has better exclusives. People who are really into God of War and Spider-Man and The Last of Us and Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah, I mean, if that's what you care the most about, there isn't an answer to that. It is the unfortunate reality of the stupid console exclusive situation that we're in and we're probably forever going to be in. There's no way around that. If you want to play The Last of Us, if you want to play the next Horizon Zero Dawn, you've got to get a PlayStation. Yeah. Now, for me, the way that I did that last generation, I got an Xbox One the day they came out. And 2 years later, when I was able to get a PlayStation 4 on Black Friday for $200, that's when I got a PlayStation 4, and that's when I started playing PlayStation exclusives. It's an option, but if you only really want to buy one console, which is absolutely understandable, then yeah, it absolutely comes down to which games you like the most.
Most normal people.
But you mean most normal people weren't taking their giant Series X today, pushing their PlayStation 4 and the Nintendo Switch out of the way so that the Xbox One X could still be installed?
Right.
So that I can do file transfer. No, that's not most
that
people.
Might be a little bit specific to people as obsessive as you are about this.
Okay. Obsessive. That's what we'll call it. All right. I'm fine with that. Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend today who asked, you know, are you going to sell your Xbox Ones? And I was like, well, I should sell one of them. I've got an Xbox One S, an Xbox One X, and now an Xbox Series X. I don't need three Xboxes. A lot of people would probably say, you don't need two Xboxes, Josh. And they wouldn't be wrong. But that's the world I'm living in. All right. So that's enough for that piece of feedback. We're already 15 minutes in practically, and we've got a lot of news to cover.
No, but that was a perfect question for the news of the week, right?
It was. So. It was. I almost recorded I almost messaged you a few days ago to see if you wanted to get together to record that answer just to get it out, you know, to that listener, to David early. Mm. But then I was like, if he hasn't bought it yet anyway, he's not getting one on November 10th.
Yep.
So it's kind of academic at this point. All right. So let's move on to our video stories for the week. And the first one is kind of a surprise and not not really hitting the waves much today, but found over at Cord Cutter News, Tableau launching yet another DVR, but this one's different from all of the other ones that they've put out in the past. It's still an over-the-air DVR with two tuners built in, but this one is the first one from Tableau that has an HDMI port. Like, that sounds ridiculous, but the Tableau DVRs have never had HDMI ports. They've been boxes that you could shove in a closet, and then you run the Tableau app on all of your, you know, on your Roku or on your phone or whatever, and that's how you watch whatever it is that you're recording over the air onto your Tableau DVR.
And at the time, it was kind of novel, but now we have the HD Home Run Servio as an equivalent of that. We have the box from Amazon. So this isn't all that new and unusual, but it was at the time. At the time, it seemed like, wait, what? I don't understand. I have to use all these other things to connect to it through my network? That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, back in 2013 is when they first came out.
And kudos to them, because they were ahead of the game.
They absolutely were. Absolutely were. So this new one, it's called the Tableau Dual HDMI. I think the name is weird. Like, it's called Tableau Dual like their other ones, because it's got two tuners. But it sounds like it has two HDMI ports, which is weird. So, two tuners. It does include a basic remote control, as you would expect. And then there are some other differences. It's not just that it's got an HDMI port. It records the raw video stream, the raw MPEG-2 stream. Whereas the other ones all take that stream in and compress it down, this one is giving you the raw MPEG-2 stream. There's an upside and a downside to that. The upside is you're going to get the best video quality possible. The downside is those files are way bigger, way bigger. So it's going to fill up your hard drive a lot faster. And you're the one who has to supply the hard drive. That's pretty normal for most of Tableau's DVRs. You buy this box, plug in whatever size USB hard drive you want, and that's your storage. You can still use the apps on other TV devices. It still works like that compared to other Tableau devices, but it doesn't support the mobile apps. I don't completely understand what? This limitation. Yeah. It's kind of weird. I wonder if it's got, I don't know, maybe it's got a different processor in it. And well, actually, no, I think I know why. It's because it's MPEG-2. So if you want to watch it on your phone, maybe your phone doesn't have an MPEG-2 decoder. Maybe.
I mean,
Home Run got around this.
Phone should be able to handle that. I don't know. That's weird.
But if they're not doing the encoding when sending out to other devices, it's going to take a lot more network bandwidth. So if you're on a wireless device, you know, that could be the reason. I don't know for sure. Like, maybe it's just an artificial limitation, but I don't know why they would implement an artificial limitation that you can't get around by giving them more money. Like, if they were like, hey, it costs less money, you can't stream to your mobile devices, but if you spend $10 on the mobile app, then you can watch it on your mobile app. That would make sense. That's not the case, though. You can't give them more money and make this work. So there must be some sort of technical limitation, I'm guessing. So the other sort of interesting thing here is you can take it with you. Like, previously, you wouldn't have taken one of these with you. Like, if you were camping or something like that, or going to a cabin in the woods for the weekend or something, because you would need an internet connection. So you'd need to bring like that little box that's normally in your closet and a Roku stick or something like that. Well, because it's got the HDMI output on it, you could just take this device with you, and you've got your DVR in your camper or in your cabin or whatever, and it'll work for up to 2 weeks without an internet connection. And I assume that limitation is really there because of guide data, probably. So
yeah, that makes sense.
This device, it's available now. It's $149. That does not include a hard drive. I'm also not super sure what the app situation is like. Like, In the screenshots, I didn't see any other apps. So it seems like you still need a Roku or an Amazon Fire TV stick or an Xbox Series X to watch Netflix on. Don't buy a Series X just to watch Netflix, but you could. So it's an interesting device, but if it doesn't have all of those other apps, I'm not sure that it really makes as much sense for people.
Yeah. I don't get this device at all. I just don't get it. In today's kind of disconnected wireless world, why do we need something that physically connects over HDMI? If anything, I feel like we're moving further away from this. The only avenue that I think this potentially addresses is those like general consumers who just aren't there yet, who want to buy something to connect to their TV. And maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see the Tableau brand reaching that audience.
Yeah. Like, is this for sale at Walmart?
Right. Right. Like, I don't think of this as something that you're going to get at Walmart and Best Buy. Who knows? Maybe you can, but it's nothing that I've noticed.
And to really hit that market, don't you have to include storage?
Right. Right, right.
Because if this is just, you know, random Joe Schmo, not super technical person, is sick of paying his cable bill and wants to go over the air because he's heard about cord cutting, you're expecting him to find this from a company he's never heard of and like figure out the hard drive stuff. That seems like a big ask.
Yeah, I agree. I don't get it. But
yeah.
Who knows? They've come out with innovative products that we didn't get at the time either. And they've kind of been trailblazers looking back at it.
They have. They have. So maybe this will work. And we're the dumb ones. Okay, Richard, I think this is really more of a story for you. You're the one who might have some experience with this because I've really not used Apple TVs much in the past. But Apple TVs somewhat recently rolled out picture-in-picture functionality.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure when that was. I'm sure we reported on it, but
yeah. And it's really nice actually, because when you back out of an application that's showing video, then that video just automatically pops into a picture in picture window that floats over the rest of your Apple TV experience, which is great. It's very similar to how, when you listen to music, that music keeps playing when you back out of your music app. Well, they've now added that capability into Sling TV, so that if you're using Sling TV as your way of getting linear television or on-demand television on your Apple TV, then this will also support that. And this is a great thing. I love seeing stuff like this. Frankly, I guess I'm frustrated, but I get it from a technical perspective, but I'm frustrated that this is something that requires application developers from these different companies to have to enable rather than just making it work. Like, why didn't Apple come up with a way of just making this work across the board?
Yeah, I was surprised too when I was reading this article and discovered that it has to be done by the app manufacturer.
Yeah, I have a conspiracy theory about that. Do you want to hear it?
Ooh, I would love to hear. I'm totally up for some conspiracy theories.
YouTube.
Oh.
YouTube doesn't want their application to work this way unless you're paying them.
But on like that, that's 100% true on mobile. But does that really apply to Apple TV?
I mean, maybe it does. I don't know. I can't imagine why they couldn't just make this work. This is just. I have never developed anything along these lines, but I'm a software developer and I understand these platforms and I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
All right. So anyway, this is really good that Sling is adding it. I love that they're adding this. This is awesome. Hey, Sling giveth, Sling taketh away. So...
Sling taketh away something that I forgot existed.
Right. Hey, Josh, you have a Sling box?
No. Who still has one of those?
So I asked our friend Seth Johnson over at the Home Tech Show if he wanted my Sling box to add to his museum, because Sling has officially announced that they are, from 2 years from this week, no longer going to support Sling boxes, which means that they are going to stop working. Basically, this is the box that allowed you to relay your content from whatever device you had, from component video, composite video, S video. Remember that?
Oh, man.
Any device you had, it could sling it. That was the whole thing behind the name of this company. It could sling this content from your devices to you wherever you were. And usually that meant that you were using some device somewhere. And in most cases, when they started out, I think it was your computer, because tablets didn't exist then.
Right, because we're talking like mid-2000s. Right. So, like, it might have been on your Windows Mobile 5 phone.
Maybe, but I don't know about that. But yeah, so they are going to be turning off the services that make these things work. And you're like, well, why do they have to brick it? Well, because it's services. These are servers that are running to relay this content. So they're keeping them alive for what I have to imagine is probably down to the, if it's even this, hundreds of thousands of customers at this point. Certainly not in the millions like they originally had when they were like insanely popular. Right. So get ready, get prepared. In 2 years, your Sling box isn't going to work anymore. Also, by the way, Seth quickly reminded me that this technology existed way before the show existed that they do. So he's probably not interested.
That's fair. So I do want to, real quick, in their FAQ, the question, they have a question: why is Slingbox being discontinued? Oh. And their answer is, we've had to make room for innovative products so that we can continue to serve our customers in the best way possible. Now, that's about what you can expect for an answer from a company like this, right?
It's a non-answer.
When I was writing up our show notes tonight, I had two browser windows open, one with our show notes and one with all of the news stories. And so this was from The Verge and they had it as an image, so I couldn't just copy and paste. I had to type it out. Google Docs, which is what we use for our show notes, has auto-predict text.
Right.
I got about halfway into typing out their answer, and it started auto-predicting exactly the words that they ended up using.
Auto-predicted press release.
That's how generic of a response this was from Sling.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Congratulations, Sling. I hope you didn't pay someone too much to write that up for you. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to a little bit of gaming news that isn't gaming news.
This is not gaming news. This is still video news.
They're both Xbox related, but they're not actually gaming news. So we've been talking for a few weeks now that Apple TV was probably coming to the Xbox One. It has. It is now available as of today, November 10th. Apple TV Plus now available on your Xbox devices.
That is exactly what we expected. It would launch with the launch of the new hardware, but it's available to everyone.
Yep. Available to everybody. And like I mentioned earlier, so is every other app that was available on the Xbox One. You can get them all on your Series X. All right. And then the last one, the last video story on your gaming hardware, sort of. If you are an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscriber, this is where the gaming angle of this really comes in. If you have Game Pass Ultimate, and that's the one that's $15 a month and gets you the game subscription on Xbox and on PC and the ability to stream from the cloud, if you have that or want to sign up for it, and you've never signed up for Disney Plus before, you can claim a free month of Disney Plus, because like right now, Disney Plus is running so many deals to get people free access to Disney Plus. It seems like if I were to trip walking down the street, someone would hand me a free Disney Plus subscription. Like, it's just available everywhere.
Which is so good.
That's it.
Yeah, it's an awesome service. You should check it out.
Yeah. I mean, how many people are Game Pass subscribers and haven't tried out Disney Plus? I got to imagine that's a small number. Maybe I'm wrong, but
that's
I would
Venn
think that would be a small
number. I want to see.
Yeah, kind of. Okay, so that's it for our video news / gaming news into the actual gaming news. Okay, so we're going to start with PlayStation news. And actually, we don't really have any more Xbox news. Like, that's crazy that today is the day that the Xbox Series X came out. We don't really have any other Xbox news. So.
Well, we sort of-ish do.
Sure, sort of. We're okay. Going to make a bunch of Xbox comparisons here when talking about the PlayStation. Maybe it's because I'm a fanboy. Maybe it's just because I'm trying to make sure that everybody's really well-educated. Okay, so first story. PlayStation 5, it comes out on Thursday. So if you're not listening live, then by the time you are listening to this, you could have a PlayStation 5 if you pre-ordered one. So that PlayStation 5, you cannot plug in an external hard drive and play games from it. You cannot plug in an external hard drive and copy games to it. You can't use an external hard drive at all with a PlayStation 5 right now, or well, when it comes out. So why does that matter? Like, you know, you might be thinking, I don't want to play games from a slow USB hard drive. That's dumb. It is kind of dumb. But what is useful is that thing's only got 667 gigs of storage.
Right.
So if you could install the games you're playing right now, and then when the next game comes out that you want, move a couple of your old ones over to a USB hard drive, install the new game, and then when you want to play that old game again, you could just copy things back and forth between drives really quickly instead of downloading a 100 gigabyte game again over the internet.
And using what might potentially be counting toward an like inexcusable cap on your service.
Right. So that's why you might want a USB hard drive. And PlayStation 5 is not supporting that right now. To compare, Xbox Series X and S, they support this. You can plug a USB hard drive into the new Xboxes. You can copy games back and forth all you want. And you can run games from the USB hard drive as long as they're previous generation games. If it's an original Xbox, a 360, or an Xbox One game, you can run them from the USB hard drive. It's just the new generation games have to be run from the internal NVMe SSD. So
that's so weird. I mean, I have a question. Could you do this before on the PS4? Could you attach an external hard drive to the PS4?
I think so, but I don't remember. I never had enough PlayStation games that I needed to do this. And I know that a lot of people, the PlayStation 4 made it fairly easy for you to swap out the internal hard drive. So a lot of people would just replace their internal drive with a much bigger one instead of doing the external thing.
Through what I assume is some sort of proprietary drive swapping mechanism.
Nope. No, you could basically stick any hard drive in there.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Sony lets you put in any sort of storage into their console.
I am shocked.
I know. It's crazy. Absolutely. Like, that's just not the Sony way, but that's what they did.
Nope.
So there's that. The other PlayStation, well, actually, we have two more PlayStation 5 stories. This first one is a good one. This next one is a good one. Kind of knocking on them for their first one, but this next one is good. They've got a PlayStation 5 remote play app that is being released on PlayStation 4. Initially, this sounds kind of weird, but no, this is a cool thing. So let's say you're buying a new PlayStation 5. It's going in your living room or your home theater, but you're not planning to get rid of your PlayStation 4. You're going to move that to your office or your kid's bedroom or something like that. But you still want to play Bugsnax or some PS5 exclusive. Then you can, from your PlayStation 4, do remote play from your PlayStation 5. So basically remote desktop sort of thing. from your PlayStation 5 to your PlayStation 4 in another room. It's a good feature to have. It's a nice feature to have. It gets a little bit weird in that we talked earlier about the controller situation. You can't use a PlayStation 4 controller on a PlayStation 5, and the opposite is also true, right, unless you're doing remote play. Because if you're doing remote play, you're on a PS4, so you have to be using a DualShock 4 to play a PlayStation 5 game from your PlayStation 5. It's a little weird. I don't know exactly. I mean, I guess that just means that anything that requires the DualSense isn't going to work over remote play, but at least you've got the option to play. So it's a little weird, but it's nice to have the option.
Yep.
All right. And then the last one, another app announcement for the PlayStation 5, Tubi is going to be another one of the launch video apps. So Tubi is yet another one of these free video apps that have free movies and free TV shows with lots of ads. I hate these apps. I don't care about them. A lot of you do like them. You'll be able to use it on your PlayStation 5. You know where else you'll be able to use it? Your Xbox Series X, because this app has been on Xbox One for years. So it's already there. So you can make a big deal about it being a launch app on the PlayStation 5, but if you had an Xbox, it's there along with everything else, including Amazon Prime, which still isn't available on PlayStation 5.
Which boggles my mind. Also a video story. I don't know who put the lineup together this week.
You're right. I missed that one too when we were shuffling things around. Whoops. Whoops.
Okay. However, not a video story is the fact that it looks like some big retailers like Best Buy and Walmart say that they will not have the next generation consoles in store, wait for it, this year.
Right. Not like just this week, this year.
Holy crap.
Yeah. If you're planning to put on a mask and do some Black Friday shopping at your local Best Buy and going to stand in line 6 feet apart from everybody because you're all super responsible and get yourself a PlayStation 5, that ain't happening.
Look, let's assume Black Friday is not happening as we know it, which is frankly a good thing. But anytime between now and the holidays, if you wanted to buy something for a family member as a gift or for yourself, this is not going to be available in stores. I don't think this is a COVID thing at all. I think this is a supply thing. This is nuts. This is absolutely nuts. I mean, we're used to seeing, and I can say this word meaning it, literally pyramids of Xbox boxes in the gaming section of Best Buy prior to Christmas. They usually have a huge supply. Sure, they're all in demand and they're special editions that they sell like crazy around Black Friday. We know that's not a thing this year, but generally they have an ample supply of these things in store that you can just go and pick up before the holiday. Nope, not happening this year.
I know. It's kind of nuts. Like, that doesn't mean that Best Buy isn't going to have them. It also doesn't mean that you have to wait around for shipping to your house or, you know, have to worry about it being shipped to your house and then someone stealing it off your porch. Like, you can order online from Best Buy and even do in-store pickup. That's an option. You just can't go to the store and buy one.
Yeah, I'm that's like the way you're saying it suggests that, oh, they're just doing a safer thing. I'm convinced that this is a supply thing.
I agree.
Too weird.
Yep. That's it for our news. Like I said, I'll get a whole lot more into Xbox Series X usage next week once I've actually had more than 45 minutes to play around with it, most of that time being installing games. I can tell you this, when you get your Series X, it's got a 700 meg download, you know, update to install. Doesn't take that long. And I have to update your controller. Doesn't take that long. One of the new things that they've done is you boot it up and it says, hey, you want to make this update go faster? Pull out your phone, install the Xbox app, and click the button for set up a new Xbox. And it's just like logging into a video app on your TV where you have to like put in a code on your phone and log in from there where it's way easier to type things in. Same sort of thing. Super nice setup process through that because it's just like hey, you've got other Xboxes. Do you want us to copy the settings from those? Yes, please. What about privacy settings? Do you want to send optional usage data? No, thank you. You know, that sort of question and answer sort of stuff, all just super fast from the app. I was doing that in the app while the Xbox was updating. So I didn't, like, once it was done updating, bam, I'm at the dashboard. I don't have to do anything else because everything else is already set up. So that is a nice thing that I can talk about tonight. So get your Xbox app ready.
Mm.
It'll be worth it.
Wow. You couldn't have transitioned better into what's going on in my entertainment center if you wanted to. So let's go there, because I want to talk about my experience setting up my new Samsung Frame TV, which I'm pretty sure I mentioned the last time we talked, when I was frustrated to learn that my old dumb 720p television in my office that was at least 10 years old didn't support the Chromecast that I bought, the one that has Google TV in the remote. So I think it cost $17 after you take out the Netflix discounts. My $17 Chromecast ended up costing me essentially the cost of a new television. And I was perfectly happy replacing my 720p TV with a new 720p Roku TV from, I think it was TCL. But no. Y'all didn't want me to do that. You convinced me that I needed to buy something more powerful than that. And so I did, and I'm very happy with my purchase, but oh my, what a pain in the butt this thing has been from the beginning. So, it arrived late. That's part one. I bought the Frame TV with a framing kit so that it actually looks like brown framing around it instead of just the standard black bezel. That looks awesome in my office. I'm very excited about that. Bezel arrived in 3 days. The TV took 2 weeks to get here. I eventually got it. I spent this weekend putting it together and setting it up and mounting it. Comes with a wall mount that mounts it magically entirely flush to the wall, which is amazing. And that mount comes with wall anchors. And those wall anchors are designed to, like, be able to hold the wall part of the bracket tightly and securely against the wall. Those wall anchors tore up my drywall. Like, the combination of the screw and the wall anchor that they provided was too much friction. So when you screwed the screw that they gave you into the wall anchor that they gave you in drywall, the wall anchor just tore up your drywall and was no longer good for anything.
Oh, like this isn't some no-name TV manufacturer.
Right. Exactly. So I had to go and find my own wall anchors that I trusted and I've used before and use different holes because I'd already screwed up the holes where I had tried to use the anchors they provided. And then it came time to mount the thing on the back of the TV. Think of something like a Visa mount. A Visa mount that is pretty standard, has four screws, and you put this thing on the back of the TV. And I opened the pack that had the screws in it, and there were three of the four screws.
What?
Yep. So then I go to configure it, and it says, all right, to configure your new TV, open your SmartThings app. So Samsung has forced the configuration and setup of your new Samsung appliances and electronics into the SmartThings brand. It's not its own app anymore, which would make complete sense. It's part of SmartThings, which makes no sense as far as I can tell. And so I went in, and immediately it required me to provide location information. I'm like, okay, well, I guess that's so that it can communicate through Bluetooth or something to do the setup. And so I did that. But it required me, after I allowed it to access my location while I was using the app, it said, nope, that doesn't work. You have to provide location services at all times for this to work.
What?
What? Why? Why? Bad developers. That's why. Poor development practices. Absolutely ludicrous. So I deal with that. Then I go to set it up and it says, okay, now name your TV. This is what it's called. And I go to tap on the name to rename it. I can't rename it. There's nowhere I can tap on the entire freaking screen in SmartThings to bring up the keyboard to rename it. I put a video of this out on Instagram because it infuriated me so much that this was the most stupid thing ever, that this didn't work the way it was supposed to work. I thought, okay, well, you know, I don't know, maybe my fingers are dry or something. And I tried all kinds of stuff. Nope, didn't work. Didn't work. I ended up having to do it eventually on the TV with the remote. And you know how much fun that is. So all in all, not really too happy with the setup experience with my new Samsung TV. And, you know, get it the hell out of SmartThings because it doesn't belong there. Just put it in a Samsung app. Come on. This is a round peg, square hole kind of situation.
But if they had done that, wouldn't you also be complaining about the fact that Samsung has 47 apps in the App Store?
If they had 27 apps, then yes, and I bet that they probably do still, but right. Not for this TV for some reason. So we go and we mount it. I put it up there, and then after I get it up there, I'm like, all right, well, now that I know where the wire is, now I need to hide the wire. So we have to take it off the bracket. Two adult males could not get the TV off the bracket. We couldn't remove it. I spent about an hour on the internet on Saturday night trying to find out how to remove this TV from its bracket. And apparently, this is a known problem. And you can't see it, but it required a chopstick. The way that I got this TV off the bracket was that we had to turn it as far as it would go in one direction to get one side off the bracket, stick the chopstick in where it had come loose, and then turn it as far as we could go to the other way, and that's what removed it. And that is what some wonderful Samsung customer posted to the Samsung forums. So thank you very much for that. Seriously, I cannot believe that this well-known company that does extremely well in the industry with their well-known products has so many friggin' problems. It's insane. All right, so let me talk about the good stuff.
So is it a good TV?
It's a great TV.
You know, maybe you should have just listened to me and bought a 720p TV.
No. You were the first person to give me crap about that. So no. So it's a great TV. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It is a little bit, it's funny. I noticed that the lighting around the edge seems a little bit dim. And I don't know if that's to give more of the frame effect or if that's just a side effect of the technology that they use. But it is noticeable. Like if I had a full screen of white up there and nothing else, you could tell that the edges are slightly dimmer than everywhere else, which is kind of weird. I've not seen that, I think, ever, probably. So the good stuff is that this TV is connected to a control box that has all the HDMI connections and your cable connection and everything else that you want to put into this through one wire, one single wire. And it's a fiber wire that has an embedded low voltage power connection in the fiber wire. So you're basically connecting this thing that's like 3 millimeters wide from your TV to this box somewhere. And then you have to fish this end connection that's entirely proprietary and requires a half inch opening to be able to actually get through the wall. So I drilled a bunch of holes. I totally cheated. I didn't feel like going through fire blocks and everything like that in my wall. So I ended up basically drilling a hole through my wall into the wall behind it, which is in my closet in my office, draped the cord down to a lower outlet that was already there for media, and then drilled another hole and had that come through to a plate in my office again, where the media comes through into my office. So it's a total cheat. It looks like crap. It's not something that I will leave in place if we sell the house at any point in time, but it works and it got the job done. And I'm still amazed that this whole thing is connected by 1 3-millimeter wire. It's kind of amazing.
That is amazing. That's cool.
It has a remote, doesn't have enough buttons, but it doesn't suck. It's kind of a nice remote. I'm used to getting really crappy remotes from Sony and Samsung, but this is surprisingly good. So I've been using that a lot. And I have to say, in terms of just kind of having this up there, like the whole idea of this thing is that it looks like a frame. So you can select photos to, or you can select, I should say, images that you can display on it. And you can select how they're matted. And if you want to, there's a subscription service that you can pay for more, or you can purchase specific images. It's really cool that this thing is just basically a frame for an image when I'm not using it as a TV. And I do have it on, and yes, that's wasting electricity, but I kind of like it now. It's a novelty. Eventually, I'll probably get over that, but it's cool. I like it. The other thing that makes the perfect source for this as a frame on the wall are the Apple TV screensavers.
Mm.
Because they're just gorgeous.
Do you have an Apple TV hooked up to this in your office?
I do. Because I have an Apple TV in my office. It's not the 4K, but is my old version of the Apple TV that I used to have in the family room. And they still look absolutely gorgeous. So that's kind of my go-to. That's kind of where I leave it when I'm not using it as a TV, you know, for like the last 3 days. We'll see how this ends up going in real life. All right. All of that was because I wanted to use my new Chromecast with Google TV. And so I've now had a chance to do that. I like it. I'm impressed by what they've done. This is what the Android or Google TV experience should be. And I look forward to them bringing Android TV stuff up to this interface because it's beautiful. It's completely functional. And I think, frankly, it rivals what Apple TV is doing.
So how does it compare to the TiVo Stream 4K?
Ah, that is the question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are the other player here. So I kind of feel like it's your move, TiVo, right? Like it's time for TiVo to show, okay, how are we going to be better than Chromecast? And frankly, to be completely blunt, I have a hard time telling that story, except that they have the integrated guide. But that guide is limited to Sling TV, which in my opinion sucks. As a former TiVo, like traditional DVR user who's used to having linear TV on demand when I want it without all these licensing limitations. So
yeah,
that's a really good question. And I don't know the answer. So that's kind of been my experience with my new TV, my experience with the new Chromecast. It is worth mentioning that one of the things that I've watched a good deal on this is channels, because channels is how I get to stuff that I've recorded. It's how I get to live TV now. And I really like it. I think, you know, the more that I use channels, the more that I like it. That said, I hooked up my movies and my TV libraries to channels. And let's just say that I'll be sticking with Plex for that.
Yeah, they've got some work to do there.
Have you played with that much?
Not much, because it's not great. I'm also I also don't have the movie and saved TV library like you do. I mean, I have some, but nowhere near as many as you do.
Right.
And my family just like almost never uses it at all. So it's not something I would use a ton, but it is pretty bare bones right now. And it is far worse than that on mobile. Like on an Android phone, it is unusable. It's so bad.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, in my experience, it is I think it's kind of early for this, it meaning, like you said, bare bones, but I also feel like it's buggy. Like it gets movie matches wrong. Movie matches that work perfectly in Plex. And I had to do a fair amount of name manipulation to make sure that things got named properly. And most of that carried forward from when I was putting those movies into Media Center through various means. So it should kind of be able to pick that stuff up, I would think. But
I don't know. That is like the hardest. Like, it seems like library management and the metadata of management.
Text parsing. How hard thing. Can it be? Well, I mean, that's true because our assistants haven't gotten that right either, have they?
Right. I mean, you have multiple movies with the same names that are just different by what year they came out.
So you put the year in parentheses after it. Always. You always do that. Problem solved. Hasn't worked.
Oh, okay. And do they even support like the metadata files being in the same folder and all that? Or are they just basing it off of the file name?
Yeah, that I don't know. Like, I haven't done enough research to see if they have the level of library customization and tweaking that Plex has. Because Plex has, I mean, it's unbelievable what Plex has done there to allow you to customize that. And I love what they've done. And frankly, I don't see myself moving off it, but I wanted to give this a try. I thought, you know, it might be nice to have everything in one place, but I'm perfectly fine using Channels for Channels and Plex for movies and TV.
Right. Yeah, that's how we've been doing it in my house, too.
All right. So let's go to what I've been watching. We have finished season 3 of Doctor Who, and we started season 4. Big Brother has ended. So that couldn't have turned out better, in my opinion. I think the person who deserved to win that won that. And I'm very, very satisfied with that season. The Amazing Race continues, and I've been watching that and enjoying that. And it's still just so weird to watch that the whole time thinking, how are they doing this? Remembering, oh, right, this was recorded like months and months and months before any of this stuff started. Which is nuts to think of. Been watching the new Star Trek Discovery season. That has been fantastic. I love that. I watched The Mandalorian season 2 premiere. Wow, that was good. I haven't watched the next episode, which I need to watch because everybody's making jokes about eggs on Twitter, and I totally don't understand. So I need to watch that. And then I mentioned that there were some shows that I was watching that were dealing with the whole life as we know it in COVID thing. This Is Us is one of those. And I said at the time, they seem to be dealing with it better than the Conners was. In fact, they had a scene in a hospital where I am thoroughly convinced that I know better how to wear a medical mask than the doctors who were supposedly working in their fake hospital. And that was annoying to me. Like, how do people, especially in Hollywood, who are trying to make this look realistic, get this wrong? I just don't understand.
Yeah. And how many of those people have worked like on Grey's Anatomy?
Right. Maybe. Right. I don't know. But just made me a little bit crazy. Then in Superstore, which I think has handled this incredibly well. They've done a really good job of showing how in their crazy, you know, big box store world, they're dealing with the pandemic. They, I think, handled it better than anybody that I've seen so far. And I was pretty impressed by all that. The Conners, you know, the Conners did a really good job in their Halloween episode. Their Halloween episode was as a Halloween episode could be, it was perfect. It was a perfect Conners episode. It delivered all the right notes and all the good feels. It was a perfect Halloween episode to make you like think about Halloween in a year where many kids didn't really get to experience Halloween the way we would hope they could. And then their most recent episode went back to just completely ignoring and, more importantly, reinforcing the improper way to handle distancing and mask use. And it just pissed me off. So I think, and I hate to say this because I enjoy the characters, I think I'm done with the show because it's pissing me off so bad. I'm like, you know, you're sending the wrong message here. And this is not the time to be messing with that stuff.
Right.
If you're going to show this, if you're going to show a family living in this situation, then you need to do it right. Anyway, all right, I don't mean to be too preachy. Been also watching more recent episodes of The Right Stuff. I love that show. I'm very impressed by that. We are now on season 2 of Schitt's Creek, and we are enjoying that thoroughly. Been watching lots of Saturday Night Live segments on YouTube, of course. That's the way that you watch Saturday Night Live these days. And also, you know, Last Week Tonight, and something that I went back to, and I know he's totally polarizing, but he's someone I've always enjoyed watching, even though I don't agree with everything that he talks about. I started watching Real Time with Bill Maher because HBO was advertising the heck out of his new episodes, and they've been pretty good. He's had some good guests on talking about just the current political situation. And I mean, he's always talking politics. That's what that show is almost always about.
Right.
Interesting to note, I think he called this election officially hours before any network did, which is kind of entertaining.
Well, by Friday, it was, the writing was on the wall.
It was obvious, but nobody wanted to call it. And there were great memes on social media about everybody kind of deciding, okay, who's going to call it? Who's going to call it? Who's going to be the first one? So, yeah, that was entertaining. I mentioned that I've been watching through Archer. I watched a couple more episodes of that, and I finished my rewatch of Ted Lasso, which was what I needed. I absolutely needed to watch those episodes. They were wonderful. They made me feel good. And in the feel-good category, I also watched a couple more episodes of One Day at Disney shorts. Also, by the way, I don't know about you, Josh, but I've been watching a lot of news lately. I watched some election results. I watched a lot of election result maps. In fact, I think I saw some things on social media where people were talking about the map show that was on all the time. And I watched a lot of election results analysis. I watched some speeches and some press conferences. So a lot of election news this last week.
Yep. Especially watched speeches in front of the Four Seasons. No. couldn't leave that alone. Sorry.
Okay. And along those lines, I have to get a quick plug in for the shortly upcoming episode that we'll be dropping of Let's Not Talk About Thrones, where Jenny and Anthony and I get together and we discuss our very candid thoughts about this whole election day craziness.
Yeah, it was a lot. Sure I didn't watch nearly as much of that as you. I think I went on election night, I think I went to bed around 11. Like, it was pretty obvious we weren't gonna know.
Yeah,
on election night.
Yeah, I went to bed about 12 something.
It was really just a question of, we've been talking about this red mirage. Is it actually going to be a thing? And it turned out that it was. I didn't watch a ton throughout the week. I was refreshing websites and stuff occasionally, but I was trying not to just live in front of the TV for election results because that didn't feel healthy. So I didn't.
What are you saying, Josh?
Yeah. So anyway, I actually have been watching something, and it took my daughter to make this happen. My oldest daughter, she's 12 and a half. She said, "Hey, do you want to watch this show on Netflix with me? It's called All American." And I'm like, "I don't know. Let me look and see what it's about. And let me look it up on Common Sense Media to see if it's something that's even appropriate for you to be watching."
That you should be watching.
Exactly. And it's a show that's about, and it's inspired by a true story. I don't really know what that means. I haven't looked up the actual story, but the general premise is it's about a kid who's an amazing football player growing up in South Central LA and gets the opportunity to go play football for Beverly Hills High School. And obviously, few more opportunities when you're playing in Beverly Hills than when you're playing in South Central.
Yeah.
And so the football stuff is interesting. It is kind of a teenager level show. You know, like, you're going to guess most of the stuff that's going to happen as an adult when you're watching this. And there's typical teenage romance garbage, but it's an entertaining show. Like, I am liking it.
So you're saying this is more freestyle that, or freeform or whatever it's called, than ABC?
Well, I don't know. Like, ABC, it's, I mean, when I think of ABC shows, I think of Grey's Anatomy and stuff, where like Grey's Anatomy is a little bit of hospital stuff and a whole lot of sex. And
yeah, but it's so all adult, not so family.
Well, right. But like, this is like ABC teen.
Like, right. Which still, is, which yeah. is, there are other, which is freeform or whatever that thing is called that used to be ABC Family.
Oh, okay. I didn't make that connection. I don't watch those channels. So like, there's some scenes where it's obvious that like these kids are about to have sex, but it's kids. So they don't actually show it. That is the most objectionable stuff that's happening in this show. If you're trying to decide whether or not your kids should watch it, there's also, because it's South Central and a lot of the storylines revolve around gangs, you know, there's a little bit of gang violence. There are, you know, a couple of shootings that happen in the show. They're not super graphic, but like, you know, it's not guts all over the place or anything like that, but you do see people get shot. So those are the potentially objectionable things that you would want to consider before watching this with your kids. But Eden's been pretty good with it. The more interesting thing is it's got some fairly intense scenes, especially the gang scenes. So Eden and I watch it, you know, fairly regularly, and Jen's like, I don't want to be in the room when you're watching this. It's too stressful. Like, Jen just does not want to watch anything stressful on TV anymore. So that's been kind of an interesting situation in our house. I mean, it's nowhere near the levels of stress of like Mr. Robot or Homeland. So I thought it might be okay, but she's not liking it. So that's what I've been watching in terms of reading. I finished Empire of Storms. That is the Throne of Glass book. I think it's book 5 in that series. There's technically 2 more for me to read, and they're getting longer, but it's been good. It's been really good. And then for gaming, some Call of Duty, some NHL 21. I haven't played anything else. And with the new Xbox, I was thinking about this yesterday. This is the first time that I've bought a new video game console and I didn't buy a game to go along with it. Like, there are some that I'm considering, but there are none that I'm like, ooh, I gotta have that, because I'm not super into Assassin's Creed. That's a big one that just came out. I'm not really into the Yakuza games, so I'm not really gonna get that. There's a new dirt racing game, so I'm considering that, but I would really only want to play that if my friends are also going to get it. And
right.
I don't think they're going to drop $60 for a racing game. So I might just be playing all the games that I already have on my Xbox Series X. And that's okay, because the loading times and all of, and the performance is so much better. At least I think it's going to be, that it's still worth it.
So let's talk about this a little bit more. Have you plugged it in? Have you like started it up yet?
Yeah, I have started it up. I went through that setup experience. I did get some of my games installing. I played one game of NHL 21 on it this evening to see if that was gonna behave any differently, because the loading times between the menus in that game on my Xbox One X are miserable and awful. And I'm like, please, please be improved on the Series X. And they're not. And
oh, wow.
And it makes me think that, so the EA Sports developers are just terrible at their job. It makes me think that, like, I am playing in online mode, but it feels like it's making like really laggy internet calls in between every menu. And they might be doing that. I don't know why they would be doing that, but that's what it feels like, because it hasn't really improved at all. Like, the game will launch from the dashboard to the title screen a lot faster on the Series X, but inside of the game, those particular menus that have always been miserably slow are still miserably slow. And so that's really frustrating.
Wow. So is Josh's first day review of the new box, Xbox Series X, just the same as the last one?
Not entirely. Like it is somewhat the same as the last one. And there's a lot of good things about that. It means that all of my apps are there and all of my games work and all of my accessories work. And from that standpoint, yes, it is like the last one, but a lot of the other things are faster. The thing that is frustrating here is this particular game sucks. Like they just didn't do a good job of writing this game. And I really hope that next year, when they've actually made a next-gen version of the game, that they rethink some of these things and make it a more enjoyable game. I mean, a month ago, when I talked about playing NHL 21, I told you on this show, like, all right, I got the new version because I always get the new version. But in the mode that I play, it's almost identical. Like, I was complaining to Jen about it the other night. Like, they fixed one button where you're going through these menus and it's A to get through all of them, except for one where you have to push the start button. And it always screws me up. Well, they finally fixed that and made it the A button. Cool. They made that better. The soundtrack is terrible. Like, there are no songs on the soundtrack that I actually like. And all of the bugs from last year are still there. So all of my complaints are with NHL 21. They're not with the Xbox Series X.
Right. Right. Although, in all fairness, and I'm not trying to bash on the new device, but until you get something that takes advantage of it, you don't really have any way of gauging, is it really better?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what my experience is like with Call of Duty and with some of the other games. Like, maybe I'll give Ori and the Will of the Wisp a try again. That game did have some performance issues on the Xbox One X that I expect to be resolved on the Series X. And there are new features like quick resume, being able to jump from game to game to game without having to wait through loading screens and title screens and all that stuff. That's going to be awesome. Like, I will probably play more games because of quick resume, because I'm not going to have to wait minutes for them to load anymore.
Right.
But I just haven't gotten a chance to do that. I don't have enough games installed to even try quick resume yet.
All right.
So yeah, but much more to come next week. By then I should have a whole lot more experience with the Xbox Series X. So that is going to do it for this week. If you want to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter. He's at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at DigiMediaZone. Richard, you also do another show called Home On, where you cover DIY home automation news, and you've got some new episodes of that too. What's going on with that show?
Yeah, I do. I have Mason Hall, the director of pretty much all things smart at Moen, and he joins me to basically listen to me, I don't know, glow about the Moen faucet that I have, because I love this thing. And we go through the details of how they got there, the different smart products that they have, and a little bit of a tease about where they're going. So I think this is a good episode. Should be out any day now.
Cool. This is the episode you've been teasing for at least weeks.
Right, because it has taken literally months for me to schedule this, and we have rescheduled this no less than 3 times. Wow. So I'm very excited that we finally got to record this thing.
Well, the other thing that's taken literally months is to get this show back live. So we are back live. We had a great group of people in the chat room tonight joining us. We usually record live Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure. We always tweet when the show is going to be and give you links to get to it. It uses Twitch. If you're watching us on Twitch right now, follow us, subscribe, whatever that button is in Twitch. I'm still new to this Twitch thing. Subscribe so that you get notified when we're going live, even if you're not on Twitter, because that's going to do it for episode 539. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.